Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about my newest book, Quest for Love. It's not my purpose to propagate Elizabeth Elliot opinions on Gateway to Joy. You do get some of those, and you're certainly free to discard them, of course. It is my purpose to point to the Bible, to the God of the Bible, to the unchanging Word, and to principles of holiness. God's view of sexual conduct would certainly have appeared to his critics to be every bit as impossible then as it seems to us now, an arbitrary and transcendental dogma coming from nowhere, except that it came from him, an ideal altogether outside time, difficult at any period, impossible at no period. I wrote a book back in 1983 called Passion and Purity. It was introduced at a large student convention where I was speaking on that subject. I was astounded at a standing ovation where the kids were stamping, screaming, clapping, yelling, whistling. Imagine college students giving that kind of a response to a message on sexual purity. You know what it told me? Young people are desperately hungry for someone to hold up a high standard. And God's standard, of course, seems impossibly high, but he's there to help us. Psalm 16:5 says, "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup and have made my lot secure." To me, that is the most calming, the most reassuring word, that wherever I am, whatever my circumstances, it has been assigned by God, and he has made my lot secure. In Philippians 4:19, we read, "My God shall supply all your need." All your need. Oh, I get so many letters from desperate single people who feel that they have got to have a mate. What can I say to them except God knows what you've got to have? God has promised to supply all your need. If you need a mate, God will give you one. I had this wonderful letter on gratitude. Here's a lady, single, almost 47 years old, and I've not had a date in 22 years. Yet I haven't lost my desire for marriage, nor given up the idea that the Lord will send me a husband. So, she says, I know how that other lady feels, someone who was discontented at being single. In 1978, my father passed away, and I came back home to live with my unsaved mother. I have a thankless factory job. However, when I sit down and think about it, these are 18 of my positive thoughts. God has given me the privilege of living on land owned by my father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. The Lord is allowing me to develop a songwriting ability. Each night I pray for some of my relatives. My list is 300 plus. My car is paid for. I've been able to spend more time helping cousins, aunts, and others who are single. Reading missionary stories is my delight. Other books by favorite authors and other singles help me. God hears my prayers regarding a husband. Jesus loves me more than any other relative or friend I have or ever will have. Well, I'm afraid I don't have time to go through all of them. One of them is that she's grateful that she has a riding lawnmower. She attends a little country church. The bluebirds come back every spring. And whatever God is allowing or is not allowing to happen in my life is the best way for me to glorify him now and throughout eternity. She says, if you use any of this on the air, please don't use my name. So I didn't, but I thought you might be encouraged by the gratitude of a woman who desires marriage just as much as so many others who write to me. I've put in the front, one of the early front pages of the book, Quest for Love, this passage from the book of Job. Ask the former generations and find out what their fathers learned. For we were born only yesterday and know nothing. And our days on earth are but a shadow. Will they not instruct you and tell you? Will they not bring forth words from their understanding? Can papyrus grow tall where there is no marsh? Can reeds thrive without water? While still growing and uncut, they wither more quickly than grass. Such is the destiny of all who forget God. So perishes the hope of the godless. What he trusts in is fragile. What he relies on is a spider's web. I chose that passage because I don't meet very many young people who even think of asking for guidance, let alone the approval, of their elders, their parents, their pastors, wiser, older people, advice on the subject of how to find a mate. And as a result of my book, Passion and Purity, which I had written back in 1983, I have gotten shoals of letters. I mean, piles, mountains of letters, many of them telling me the wild and crazy ways in which young people are going about trying to find the one. So I thought this was a very important passage. Ask the former generations. Find out what their fathers learned. For we were born only yesterday and know nothing. Will they not instruct you and tell you? Well, they will, if you're prepared to listen. But many young people are not prepared to listen. I want to read to you the introduction to my book, Quest for Love. This is mostly a book of stories, stories about how men and women find each other. Some of them did it wisely, others did not. I hope my readers will discern which examples are worth following. To marry or not to marry is, first of all, gentlemen, an issue for you. Most of us women would like to have a husband, and quite a few of us believe that men should do the wooing. We may be as educated, as smart, as capable of making big money as you are, but we were not created to be competitors, and we really don't want to do the hunting. We want you to do it. But how? Many are the ways in which a man has won a maiden. But the wisest man who ever lived confessed that this was a matter too amazing for him. If it stumped Solomon, who, be it remembered, had 300 mistresses and 700 wives, what chance has an honest young man today, amid the myriad causes of confusion, that Solomon never had to contend with? For our blessing and joy, God ordained marriage. It follows, then, that Satan opposes it, craftily, powerfully, and hatefully. People take their cues from stories, but movies and television have destroyed context, the associated surroundings within which stories are understood, the meaning of home, fireside, the loyal lifetime love of a man and a woman, the security of a father's lap. The dependable context in which love used to be learned is gone. How much extramarital sexual activity goes on because the media portray it as far more exciting than marital love. During the Vietnam War, tradition was questioned, ridiculed, and finally trashed. What parents had taught no longer carried any weight. The baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1964, stumbled into new territory. Tradition and custom, which have endured because they work, became pejoratives, restrictive, irrelevant, uninteresting. What mattered was to do one's own thing. And there were no directives for that. One of them wrote to me, I was in high school from 1968 to 72. The world turned upside down. The sexual revolution took full swing. My schoolgirl fantasies of love and romance died a slow and painful death. courting and respect disappeared. Dating became a battleground, virtue a hindrance instead of a ticket of entitlement. To maintain high moral standards in this world spells a lot of rejection for a woman nowadays. I have prayed for a Christian man with high ideals, but never found one. The majority of men in our society do not believe in moral ethics or virginity. Mother always told me men were gentlemen in the majority and didn't pressure nice girls. Wish I'd been born in that era. To do what is right is a timeless truth. Feminist doctrine has caused bewilderment about the true meaning of masculinity and femininity. We were told that the difference between the sexes was a mere anatomical triviality, which had nothing to do with our respective places in society, the workplace, the church, or the home. We believed the lie about equality and interchangeability. As women learned self-assertion and aggressiveness, men learned to feel guilty about being men and began to back off. Those whom God created to be initiators, protectors, and providers no longer understood their assignment, and women wondered why they were not being sought. A woman lawyer from New York City wrote, "The church is plagued with weak men and strong women, the latter in much larger numbers. It seems that men have become effeminate, some to the point of becoming gay, and women have become overly aggressive, both personally and professionally."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.